Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Wanted to share with you this morning and think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I thought we'd think about her today for a little bit. Yeah, we considered his birth record, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we're going to do a couple of those verses again today, but I wanted to consider Mary. One of the things about Mary, as far as what kind of woman was she? You know, and you think about this when you're a believer, what kind of individual does it take to bear the Son of God? You know, you would think that this is like super special. Everything is, you know, she's got to be something really different, right? I mean, that's the way I would think. But let's just read what it says about her. Let's just take in what God says in his word about this great lady. And she was a young girl at the time. But the first requirement that was necessary of Mary was that she'd be of the seed of Abraham and of the seed of David. She had to come through that birth line. And it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband," it says here, "of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away of Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Now, if you go back and you read the generations that are presented here in chapter 1 of Matthew, you have 14, 14, and 13. And that's because this word here in verse 16, it says the husband, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. It's not talking about her husband. Her father's name was Joseph, same as her husband. And then you get 14 generations. That's when the word fits. So that word for husband can either be translated husband or father. Then you have 14, 14, and 14, just like the word says. God's word is accurate. You just have to think a little bit. So what kind of woman was she? This was the main requirement as far as God said it's going to come through the line of David and Abraham. It's going to be his seed. And he proves this from Abraham. I mean, that's a lot of generations to keep track of. And the same thing on Luke. Luke brings him all the way back to Adam. So, you know, and Joseph was also of the house of David, her husband. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, and again, I want to focus in on what kind of woman was Mary, the mother of our Lord. So it says in verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." We know that she's highly favored. God has been looking at this young lady. She's probably about between 14 and 16 years of age. Yeah, that's when women would usually get married at that particular culture. In that time, it wasn't unusual. "And when she saw him, she was troubled. at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth the Son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. The quality of Mary, first of all, she was favored. God was looking at her. Was she favored because of who she was? Now, I'm not diminishing her. I'm making a major point here. You know why you're a child of God? Not because of you. Do you know why you're blessed? Not because of you. Do you know why you're qualified to lead? Not because you're qualified in yourself. You found grace. Just like Mary. God's got a wonderful young lady. He has set his heart upon her. He has given her grace. Her part, the quality she has, is she's got humility. She's fearless. She asks questions, she's intelligent, but she's obedient and willing to take on what God wants to throw at her, which is, I want you to bear my son. And you know, this is going to cost her everything. She is a little girl. She hasn't been with a man yet. In that culture, you become pregnant before you get married. You're a cursed lady for the rest of your life. And they treat her that way for the rest of her life. When you read this in the scriptures, she's paying a price for this. The work that she does for God, she's paying a price for the rest of her days. I bet you she don't have a lot of friends outside of her family that believe that she's carrying the Messiah. And Elizabeth's an old lady, so she ain't gonna live that long. She's willing to do the will of the Lord. And she probably knows, I mean, I would think almost instantaneously what this is going to cost. And you know, the other thing that I thought about is when she finds out this, she goes to Elizabeth, you know. But she doesn't run around the neighborhood and say, An angel just appeared unto me, told me I'm going to have the Messiah. Look at this. Look at how great I am. Well, you know, I don't know. Wouldn't some people be tempted with that? I don't know if I would be. I don't know. That ain't happening to me. I'm just simply saying to you, there's so many other things she could have done. But what she did do was she said, Be it unto me according to thy word. She had absolute faith Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, the female doulos of the Lord. I'll do whatever you say. You know, in the calling of God, you ever notice that God's calling throughout the scriptures is not always pleasant as far as how it affects your life? You know, Paul got called and he got beaten. Oh, we would love the miracles he did, but I don't know how many of us would really like the beatings. You know, Joseph, you know, he had a dysfunctional family. They all hated him. They hated him so much they beat him. They wanted to sell him into slavery. Actually, they wanted to kill him. And then they thought, well, we can make some money on him, so we'll sell him into slavery. And he gets sold into the house of Potiphar, right? Things didn't go real well there. He ends up in prison. And it says the Lord is with him. And then he finally gets to the end of the purpose of his life, because God has called him and given him revelation. He gets to the purpose of his life finally, where he is second in command of all Egypt. And then when his brothers show up with that great famine, he realizes that the purpose of all this suffering and all that I've gone through in my life was to save Israel alive. And they bring the children of Israel and his father and the family into Egypt. And they end up staying there, well, a couple of hundred years, 400 years. And they're kept alive from the famine. But Joseph had to go through all of that because God called him. He was with him, but it wasn't pleasant. John the Baptist wasn't pleasant. I'm not saying everybody had a trash life, but I'm just simply saying that most God-fearing people don't consider that. You know, people don't consider Christian, although in this country it's not that bad, but in other countries, you're getting your head chopped off, you're being discriminated against, you're at best. You're being marginalized. Everybody thinks you're a bigot, hateful, prideful, arrogant. It's okay. It really doesn't. I mean, it is what it is. Because it's so worth it. Mary knows what she's going to go through. Mary knows what the neighbors are going to think. Joseph has got two decisions to make. He can either just let her go and not marry her because she's pregnant, or he can have her stoned to death. Both are in the law. It takes God sending him an angel to say, don't fear. Take the woman unto you. And he has to choose to bear this burden also. I just don't think most people think about this. We're talking about strength, commitment, love, faith, and a willingness to sacrifice. And then she goes to Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth prophesies. Then Mary prophesies. You see the prophecy that Mary speaks forth in verse 46. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. Now just think about it. She knows in her life, I don't know, you got to put yourself in her shoes. It takes her a while to get to Elizabeth's house. I don't know if it's 5 blocks away or 5 miles away, but it takes her a while. And I tell you what, when you got something just dramatic that's happened to you, you can think 100 miles an hour in a pretty short period of time. I think you understand what I mean. And you can let your mind run away with all these thoughts. Now, she's got excitement. She just seen an angel. She just got told she's going to have the Messiah. I mean, this is eye-opening. Plus, now she also knows that she's going to be a woman who's going to have a child without a husband. So she's got a mixture of things. But you know what? She is, when Elizabeth says what she says, my soul doth magnify Yahweh, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regard to his low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty and hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel, and remembered his mercy, as he spake unto our father Abraham, and to the seed, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her. Look at what's in her soul. You know what's in her soul? Any fear? It's praise, it's adoration, it's the scriptures. I mean, she's quoting scripture here. This woman knows the word. She's a girl who knows the word. A person that God can work with. One that he's set his heart upon, he's shown favor to, and he's given his grace. Like I said, there's not a man or woman that's qualified to walk with God. There's not an individual among us. There's not a preacher out there that's ever been qualified to walk with God or to do his will. What qualifies you is God giving you his grace, his help. That's what qualifies every individual. Not your own personal ability. Because there is nothing holy about any of us. You know, she's selfless, as I said before, and I'd like you to turn to Mark 6. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 3, and we'll just start from verse 1, Mark 6. And he went out from hence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty words are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter's son? The son of Mary, and the brothers, James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. You know why they were offended in him? Because this whole family is garbage. This whole family, I mean, this mother, she had him out of wedlock. Nothing good about them. And that's how they were treated. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 55. We'll start in 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he had come unto his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, saying, hence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Hence then hath this man all these things. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Again, the neighborhood, here he is teaching. This is 30 years later, after his birth. And nobody's forgotten. And they're offended he even opens up his mouth. You're teaching the Bible, and they're offended at it. And he doesn't do very many. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief, because of their attitude. You know, Mary had to put up with that. And I'm focusing on her. What kind of woman was she? She had to pay the price. But, you know, there are some other records here that I think are really neat. In, go back to Luke chapter 2. They also help you get a little picture of the mother of our Lord. There are people who worship her, Mary, people who pray to her. Yeah, there's nothing, there's no foundation of Scripture, even thought of Scripture, about those things. That's what somebody else's, you know, religion is. It's just not in the Bible at all. That would be idolatry. Plain and simple. That doesn't mean I don't admire the young lady. I think a lot of times Protestant ministers don't talk about her that much because of these other religions. But, you know, I think, you know, she's a group. What a young lady. What a young lady. But back earlier in Luke chapter 2, there are several records. Right after the Lord is born, you got 8 days after he's born, and then you have 12 years after. And it gives us a little picture of what's going on. And there's an individual, first of all, the shepherds. You know, they were in the field that, you know, when he was born. And God sent them multitude of angels. Hosanna to him in the highest. And they're rejoicing, and they send the shepherds. You're going to find them wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And they run, and they find this thing, and they come. And it says, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. This is, the shepherds went out after they saw the baby. They went out to the whole town and made known the things that they had seen. In verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But you know what Mary did? She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then a number of days later, in verse 25, there's another record. And behold, there came, you know, they were to go and go to Jerusalem and have the baby circumcised, right? And behold, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, the coming of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That must have been one good, what a relationship he had with the Father. That God would, hey, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Woo. That's a walking man of God. Just to have that given to you. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, they then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou the servant, thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They marveled. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then it goes on to Anna, another record. But he prophesies to Mary, it's going to be like a sword. It's going to go through your heart one day. This is going to cost. He is going to be, he is the Messiah. And I'm praising God and I'm going to die, but you're going to live your life. You're going to see some of these things. And then it's going to be like a sword's going to pierce through your heart. And I think you and I can probably understand that, because we know what's coming. You know, you also had the record of when Jesus was about 12, right? And he goes off, they go to Jerusalem as they do during the feast. And he's off doing his father's business. He's hanging out with the lawyers and the Pharisees, and he's talking the Bible with them, and they're all amazed. But mom and dad, Mary and Joseph and the whole entourage, because there's an entire entourage that goes with them and comes back. They leave and they think, well, Jesus is with the uncles and the aunts or whatever. And they're about a day's journey away from Jerusalem. They're going back home. And they realize Jesus ain't here. Now, hey, mom, you just lost the Son of God. That's not the way you thought about it. But here it is. They're frantic. They're frantic. Wouldn't you be frantic if you lost your kid? You know, Mary lost the kids for an hour or two, and she was frantic. Where is he? I lost Mike, you know, God, for years. He went out one night and he didn't show up, and I found him in the backyard sleeping under a tarp. You know, but he drove me crazy. I was driving around the neighborhood looking for him. I had my heart in my mouth. He's sleeping in the backyard wrapped in a painting tarp on the patio furniture. Could have killed him. But Mary, she's lost Jesus. It takes her a day to walk back to where they were. And then it's 3 days looking around Jerusalem, trying to find him. That's almost 5 days a week. What do you think her voice sounded like when she found him? Do you think that she was, Oh, Jesus, you made me worry. No. Now, this is a real mom. Like, what is wrong with you? Do you have any idea what you did to me? Your father and I were going crazy. Why'd you do this to me? That's how it went down. Now, just think about it, okay? Now, we think about it from a very different point of view. Jesus is doing his Father's work. He is the Son of God. He's about his Father's business. Mary, this is my kid. And he got lost. And he ain't upset about it, but I am. Just like any other normal, wonderful mom that loves her kid. And at the end of that record, on 48, we're in chapter 2 of 48. At the end of that record, it says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Dealt with us. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that thou sought me? Wist now, know you not, that I should be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." They didn't get it, okay? You know, she had these things in her heart. She was amazed at Simeon when he prophesied over the child. And now he's 12, 13 years old. I think he's 12. And he's lost. He's talking back and forth the things of God and they're amazed. And yet they don't get it. They don't get this. And you know, that's the truth of a lot of people who are called. Just think about, like I said before, Joseph. He didn't understand the purpose of his whole life and why he was going through what he was going through until almost the middle or the end, towards the end of his life, where he realized that the whole reason he had gone through the entire process was to save Israel. Paul, he's serving God, locking up Christians. He's committed. He's serving God Almighty. He's doing the will of the Lord as far as he's concerned. And then all of a sudden, Jesus slams him on the road to Damascus and shows him and opens his eyes. And you know, he's just as committed to the Lord after his salvation and after his conversion. And he goes in and he preaches Christ unto them. And you would think that, oh man, the Messiah has asked me to preach the word. I should have a nice clear ride. But he says to him right there at the beginning, I got to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. In the book of Acts. Mary is a courageous young lady. But she's a real lady. She's a real mom. And she goes through this whole thing. And Jesus, remember, he's out there preaching and teaching. His brothers and sisters don't believe on him. Nobody in his family believes on him. We went through this record once in John chapter 6 and 7, where his family said, why don't you go up there and go up to Jerusalem? Go and show, if you know, you're such a hot shot, why don't you show everybody what you're up to? And Jesus goes up there privately. But they don't believe on him. And I don't know where Mary's at. It doesn't mention her. But it does say when they were seeking him and he was in the house teaching, he says, oh, your mom and dad, your mom and your brothers and sisters are calling for you. He says, who is my mother and who is my brethren but those that, and he's pointing to those that believe. But then you know what, at the end, she's there at the cross. You want to talk about putting a heart, you know, a sword through your heart? She's there watching her son hanging on the cross, her and the other ladies. And Jesus looks down and looks at one of his disciples and says, "Behold your mother, take care of her." And she watches him suffer. She watches him. And I can't imagine. But she has paid the price. She's gone through not understanding everything. And she's standing next to her son while he's hanging on the tree. Then they take him down and bury him. But she is, go to Acts chapter 1. She is with, look at verse 12. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they were up in the upper room, where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So his family is with them after the ascension. They probably got to see, and they are with them in the upper room, and they are all together in prayer. And she's probably present at the day of Pentecost, although she's not talked about. Just in the women's section. And, you know, we know James and Judas, they believe, because they wrote books at the end. But the point is, it doesn't talk much about his family. Doesn't talk much about Mary after this. But I just praise the Lord. This young woman who had such faith and belief in God, his word, so excited about having the Messiah, so willing to pay the price and suffer the indignity of the society that she lived in. And yet, she suffered the horrendous time of him being on the cross. And I'm sure there was plenty of ups and downs in between. And you notice that Joseph isn't talked about after chapter 2 of Luke. I think he probably is gone. He probably died. He did his job. He kept the baby safe, kept mom safe, put him in the place that they needed to be in. I don't know. It doesn't much say. Not important. What's important? You know, God, getting done what God wants done. The book, the Bible, is not about me and you. This is about what God wants. He wanted paradise in the beginning. He wanted mankind to fellowship with. He wanted children. He lost it. Now he's got it back. He sent his son to pay for it. It's going to be paid for. And you know what's going to happen? All those who choose to believe on the gospel that he has given us. If you choose to humble yourself and believe, no matter what your life looks like, you know, Mary had the baby in the, and they laid him in a manger. You think God could have done better than that? Not necessary. You know, I often thought about that. He's the Son of God. Why didn't God give him a better place to give mom give birth? Why do they got to work for a living? They ought to be filthy rich. You know what? None of those things. Your life is what it is. It plays out the way it plays out. You know what's important? That you're walking with God. I don't understand everything else. I don't understand any of the rest of it. I know we all got purpose. We all got been called by grace. We all got a job to do. And I just pray I faithfully do it. That's all. How it looks, I'm not sure way it's going to come out. But I do know that I want to do it, and I want to do just what the Lord wants me to do. You know, so, and Mary, she was there. She was there at the Ascension. She got to see her son raised from the dead, glorified, and lifted up into the heavens. And she was definitely there at the day of Pentecost, as far as I'm concerned, because she was there in the temple with them. There was about 120 of them. So, well, anyhow, that's what I wanted to share with you this wonderful day.